Sustaining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita. How's it going?
Kia ora. How are you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Now, what's on the menu this week for Sustaining Alive?
Well, so last time we spoke, we talked a little bit about carbon offsetting and companies planting trees to carbon offset and being, you know, net zero and
yes.
How a lot of that was kind of a bit bullshit.
Yeah.
So today I saw there was an article and stuff. So a big shout out to the writer of it, Sarah Herringer, who just gave a little bit of inspo and a little push to cover this. We've covered it before as well. But the concept of greenwashing and how important it is to be really eyes open about it. And I've heard it also deemed by environmentalists as hopium. So the idea that there's sort of this hope that is kind of a bit bullshit, that will be saved by these kind of bullshit technologies or bullshit terms or whatever. So I thought we'd cover that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess the biggest thing is that it is absolutely rife, especially at the moment with everyone thinking, like, you know, brands are really aware that we vote with our dollar these days.
Yes.
So the concept of greenwashing, just to cover this off if anyone doesn't realise, is that it's a whole bunch of like really flowery terms that sound really environmental, but if you dig into them, they're actually not. So things like, I'll cover a few of the big pitfalls, but recycled plastic or bio something, or
Earth,
you know,
smart,
like
planet
throwing
friendly.
Throwing these words in, yeah, eco friendly, like. And you go, oh, cool, I want to buy eco-friendly, and you vote with your dollar by buying this eco-friendly. Mm. And then if you actually looked into it, there is literally nothing eco-friendly about it. So, yeah, that sort of stuff. And it is rife. So I guess some of the biggest terms, like, to keep an eye out for, and we've talked about this before, Johnny, is the biodegradable.
Mm.
So I remember being a kid, and it was like this. It was like the 80s or 90s or whatever, and it was like, this product is biodegradable, and it was this huge, big, like, cool thing. And it hasn't really gone away. Like, it's not as cool anymore, but certainly hasn't gone away. People will be like, it's biodegradable, and the other one is now compostable. So firstly, what we've got to remember is everything is biodegradable to some degree. It just depends how long, right? So your plastic is biodegradable over 200,000 years. So there's no meaning to that term. So what we've got to watch out for is biodegradable, even compostable is coming in there, because a lot of things are only compostable if you send them to an industrial composter. So what you want to look for in this space is home compostable, which means you can put it in your home compost and it will break down.
Mm.
The other thing people need to realise is that if you throw something in the trash and it goes in your bin to the tip, a tip is an anaerobic environment, which means that there's no air that gets in, which means it actually can't ever break down. So if you put away a whole lot of like compostable things, like your food, for example, it's the worst place to send that stuff to the tip, because it's eventually going to be covered up and unable to break down.
Mm.
So that's why it's so important to separate your compost and your, you know, your plastics and stuff.
We're about to get new bins, aren't we? We're getting compost bins.
The little green council bins.
I've
actually seen some of them out west, but I've always kind of questioned, hey, when are we in Greylin, for example, going to get them?
You should absolutely have them by now. I would have thought they're more important in somewhere like Greylin than they are out west. Because, I mean, I guess the idea is for places like apartments and townhouses and stuff where the drivers don't have to drive too far to collect it, but it's really painful for you guys those in apartments to actually collect the compost and put it somewhere because you don't have any soil to put it in. So whereas out west, a lot of places are, you know, on 600 square metres, so they could compost.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We should dig into that and write to the council. If you're in Greylin, let us know. I'd be really interested to know, because you should absolutely.
Well,
I thought
am.
That was the point.
I am.
I thought that was the point of them.
Also, I mean, do we know what the council's doing with our compost once
it's going quite far away, to be honest.
Okay.
So there is some questions around, you know, the usefulness of collecting all this stuff and then driving it, you know, 80 kilometres out of town or whatever. And when you do the maths, I'm sure there's some pros and cons both ways. But I guess the most important thing is that we are running out of tip space, and that's pretty imminent. We've covered right. that before in a show.
Yeah.
I think it's like we've got 8 years of tip space left, so they're desperate to just find solutions, as many solutions as possible. And it's just kind of, you know, compost is a really easy one to get rid of. Why there's not something closer, I don't know. And maybe we should get someone on the show to have a chat about that to us. Like, why? What are the kind of the logistical nightmare about, you know, couldn't we just create a farm up, you know, Helensville to collect our compost or something? I don't know.
I mean, you say that. I'm going to just Google somebody from the council we can talk to for a future edition, but keep going.
Yeah. I'll try and
break
that too.
Rita, just back to this greenwashing topic. How does one be a savvy consumer? Because it's pretty easy for these brands to, like, make up a, you know, some sort of certification, slap it on their bottle. How am I to know? Yeah. Is there like a best practice sort of website or best product website that I could like have a look at?
Not really. There's a few websites you can go and check out companies for sure, but nothing that's gold standard that I would call out here, because they all kind of do bits and pieces. Like, there'll be one that's like the carbon footprint and they'll cover some products but not others. There's a certification called B Corp, which kind of goes part of the way there. And I know it's quite hard certification to get, and it's things like, you know, what are you doing to offset your emissions? And like, companies have to approve this over like 1 or 2 or 3 years. It's not just like, let's do it for 3 months, get certification and stop doing those things. So B Corp is kind of the industry standard at the moment, but that's not even slapped onto bottles. Like, you have to research that, which is quite difficult. I guess the things to look out for is, assume everything isn't, nothing is sustainable. Like, you just kind of have to come at it like that. Like I don't know anything at the moment that we're doing as a human species is sustainable. So you've got to kind of go, okay, so then there's a spectrum of how unsustainable is it? And companies that are like, you know, co-owned by their workers tend to be pretty good, because they're not driven just by gross profit. They usually got a whole lot of other social factors built in, which helps them be a little bit more sustainable. Overseas in Europe, they're working, and particularly the European Union, are working through having some laws around this, so that you can't just use terms like bio or sustainable or eco.
Yes.
And then once they've passed those laws, there's also going to be like a few standards that are like okay to be slapped onto products, so then consumers will know. And I think that's what we need. And I'd love to see someone like, I know the Green Party had some policies around this for plastics, but it'd be good to see this broadened in some of the you know, political parties' mandates or policies. It would be just to broaden this to capture, you know, what really easy for.
Rita, are you still
something
there?
Like that would be really nice. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, mate, you just cut out. Can you repeat that last sentence?
Sorry. Something like the you know how they have the heart stars that tells you whether the product's really good for your heart or not?
Yeah.
Controversial, by the way. But something like that, I think, for the environment on products would be really good.
Now, Rita, just going, it seems that the compost bin is a hot topic, because we've had a couple of texts in from people out west saying, we don't need this damn compost bin because we're composting out there anyway.
Yeah.
So $70 added to rates for the year. And, yeah.
You reckon the
council I'm just going to say, like, I say this all the time. Being environmental is a costly thing, and that's the thing. If you're going to buy these sustainable products, or some more sustainable products, they are going to cost more because they're not taking shortcuts. But so for me, it's like, if I'm paying an extra $70 on my rates, that's fine, as long as someone in Grey Lynn is able to compost.
Yes,
you know,
yeah, totally.
It just seems absolutely nuts that it's not in the right places. But maybe I'll get someone from the council to come and have a chat to us, because I think that's really important to understand this. And it sounds like it's not being rolled out particularly well. I mean, I don't want to say that, because I've got no data for that whatsoever, but if you're in Grey Lynn and you don't have one, that's really concerning.
I mean, surely you would have been able to at least inform the council, like, hey, I'd be keen to do some composting with your bin, or I already do composting, so I don't need your bin necessarily. But I feel like that's a big rigmarole for the council to even get their heads around.
One-on-one conversations with every address in Auckland about whether they need a bin.
Every single household.
Now, Rita.
Yeah, although it's as simple as if you put your bin out, you don't need it, right? Like, I mean, I think all of us, unfortunately, those things, we, if you're paying the $70, like, everyone might have to pay the $70 to make it worthwhile. But it's a one-off $70 fee, and if it makes it easier for our city to save money long-term in a new tip, then it pays off, you know?
All right, Rita, any last remarks on greenwashing?
Yeah, the last thing I'll say is that if you do find a product and you've been using it and then you just do a little Google and go, oh, my God, this isn't even that great, go and hit them on their social or product review and just say, you know, like, you're claiming that you're bio, but there's nothing that tells me that, because that's what moves brands. They do not like that stuff. So yeah, if you find something, in fact, challenge everyone, if you've got something that you've been buying that you think is eco, have a little look at it tonight, and if it's not really got any credentials or any reason, write them an email or on their social.
Have
say,
a
hey,
bleat
mate,
on
what?
Social media.
Yeah, have a cry on social media.
Have a whinge.
Awesome. We all love a good whinge on social media. So, yeah, that will move the needle, I think, eventually. So.
All right, mate. Okay. Awesome. Well, we'll check in a fortnight's time. Bye.
That was Sounds Sustaining good. Alive Bye. With Rita Steele on 95 BFM.